Hey, everybody from around the world. Happy and merry, whatever. Well, you know, here we are. We're deep in the holiday season, right? And I'm sure you're going to be going out to parties and to gatherings with family and friends. And I really hope for you that those are enjoyable and not too stressful for you. Because as joyful as this season can be, it can certainly be difficult at times when we're faced with seeing family and friends at holiday dinners and parties. And maybe just sometimes things are a little tense. Is that the word we should say? Tense. Sometimes more than tense. But I hope for you that the good part of the holiday season is going to eclipse any kind of negativity that you're going to run into. You are in control of how you act and react. But remember, you have absolutely no control over other people. So maybe sit back and watch the show. But of course, along with the joy of the season comes that challenge of food. Please remember, though, that you can take this time between now and the first of the year and enjoy those food items and indulgences that hopefully, you pass on at the other times of the year. 2 weeks from right now, when I'm recording this on December 16th, it's going to be New Year's Eve. And that's a great night of celebration as we move into 2016. Now, I, of course, will be celebrating with alcohol. I'm so excited. Alcohol is my year without alcohol comes to a conclusion. I'm very excited not only for the 2 weeks that are left for the holiday merriment, but also for the anticipation of the new year. 2015 was the most remarkable year of my life. And if you've been following along in the podcasts and listened to me talk about my year as I went along, you know why this year has been so amazing for me. But for those of you new to this podcast, I hope you're listening back to the older episodes also to not only find out why this year was so incredibly awesome for me, but also there's the diet series. And what started out as a 10-week diet and eventually ended up being an 11-week diet, but that's okay. But it's illustrated starting in podcast number 71. And there's also a lot of other topics that's covered in other podcast episodes. So please check those out and give a listen. Now, should you be listening to this podcast after January 1st, I hope you take the time to go back through those diet podcasts and make use of our weight loss journey. And you can follow along and do your own body fat reduction for the new year. I am especially happy in looking at the statistics of this podcast to find that those of you who listened to the last one, Beginner Workouts Part 1, not only listened to that podcast, but you went along with the reference I made to podcast number 69 and also listened to what I really think is one of the best podcasts that I did. It's called An Insider's View of Large Weight Loss Companies. And if you're thinking of joining any one of those large companies, you see them advertised, you know who they are, give yourself a step up and listen to podcast number 69, because I detail the year that I worked for one of those companies. And in that podcast, I give you detailed inside info, well, on a nameless company, because I didn't want to get my ass sued, so it's nameless, but it could be that one over there, it could be this one, it could be the one way over there, maybe it's any one of them. But I think you're going to find insights that you're not going to find if you just go into one of those companies and you either tour them or you sign up for a membership and begin the weight loss on their particular program. So again, that's podcast number 69 available in my episode list. And just a quick reminder that we're doing a water challenge through these holiday weeks that lead up to the first of the year. I challenged you to be drinking a glass of water between each of your alcoholic drinks. I think you're going to find a really, really good benefit from this challenge. By drinking a glass of water between each of your cocktails or beers, you're going to keep yourself hydrated. You're going to dilute the alcohol so it's not going to get you as drunk. And you're going to find overall that you're going to have a nice effect from these drinks. Yet also, you're going to actually consume less alcohol. There's studies that show by consuming water along with your alcohol, it does cut down on that nasty, nasty hangover the next day. So please try that challenge. And for any parties and gatherings from now through the first of the year, drink a glass of water between each incredible alcoholic wonder that you consume. I definitely am going to be using that principle when I return to drinking on what I really hope will not be too much of a drunk New Year's Eve. Folks, if I can ask one thing of you, I very much want to continue with these podcasts and hopefully for years to come. But in order to do that, I need more listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, please tell your friends and family and encourage them to listen along. And especially if you're an iTunes listener, please take a quick moment to leave a star rating and or a comment on the podcast page in iTunes. You can do it anonymously. Just click on one of the stars and give a rating. Maybe, just maybe, with fingers crossed, that you might give me 5 stars. You can also leave a comment by just doing a short registration, and you can make up a screen name, and I'm never going to be able to find you, so your secret identity stays safe. I really need to pick up more listeners in the podcast so that I can be picked up someday, eventually, for syndication, and these podcasts can continue for you free of charge until you just get sick of my voice. Not to say you're not already sick of my voice. So we have a lot to cover today, and I think we should get to it. My name is Joey Hernandez, and this is Beginner Workouts Part 2, the 85th episode of your weekly weight loss, diet, and fitness podcast, Life After 30 Podcast. Okay, so for those of you looking for a simple home workout or even a complex and advanced home workout, we're going to be dealing with that directly right after the first of the year. But meanwhile, if you go back to podcast number 61, which is still under the former name of the Human Construction Site Podcasts, you're going to get some information that you're going to be able to get started. But please note that although it's listed now as a Life After 30 podcast episode, I was under my former name at the time of recording it, and therefore you're going to hear a different, and I'll go as far to say a strange, bizarre introduction where you're going to hear my rather annoying alien-type voice introducing the podcast, but please don't let that scare you away. But check out podcast number 61 to get some starting information on doing a home workout. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to be speaking to you about the different types of workouts that you can do. This is explaining the different combinations of body parts and splits, and it's especially important for those of you who are currently in a gym or a health club or will be joining right after the first of the year. Now, this podcast and the next one is going to detail specific information on workout technique. Therefore, both home workouts and gym slash health club workouts can very much benefit from this information. So although you're going to hear a lot of reference regarding machines and free weights that are in gyms, for those of you, including my wonderful, incredible women listeners who are looking to just tone up that problem area or problem areas, understanding the body and the workout technique is going to give you a benefit for both of those who work out in gyms and health clubs and those of you at home. So home workout people, please don't think of this as something that doesn't apply to you, because it does. Please don't shut off the podcast because it sounds like I'm not speaking to you. I am actually speaking to everyone. So once again, I've pulled an excerpt from one of the earliest podcasts that was under the former name. So I'm now going to insert that talk about the different kinds of workouts that you can do wherever you're going to work out. And I'll be back live with you at the conclusion. This podcast and the next one, number 86, are going to be longer than my usual episodes. There's just so much information to cover, so please don't bail on it early. Okay, let's get started with that excerpt, talking about the different types of workouts. I tend to do a lot of writing in the blog and doing the podcasts aimed towards the people that are just starting out, because those are the people that need this information. Those are the people that don't have the egos that say, oh, I know what I'm doing, and this guy's and I'm going to do it my way. You know, you have an open mind to accepting something new, and you have a need for it, and, you know, it's geared towards beginners a lot of time. I will be working with some intermediate stuff and even some advanced stuff that I've learned from professional bodybuilders over the years, but a lot of the information is going to be tailored towards beginner to intermediate levels. So with that in mind, going into the gym, you may not have absolutely any idea what to do when you walk in the door. A lot of people, when they go into a gym, their feeling is, well, I'm planning on probably doing chest and some cardio, but depending on how busy the gym is, I'll see what equipment is available and what I'm going to do. And then you get there and it's like a Monday night and everybody's on everything and you're waiting around and you do, there's a bicep machine available. Okay, I'll do that, a set on that. And oh, the leg press is empty for a second. I'll go over and do that. And you don't really have a plan for what you want to accomplish. So I'm going to give you the types of workouts that you can do. And I'm going to explain each one and how often you should be going to the gym to utilize each of these, and the benefits and the cons of each of these types as well. So rather than just walk in and blindly go on, I don't know what I'm going to do, let's see. You can go in with a preset idea of what you're going to do, and that way there you are going to be able to get to the goals that you set. And that's really important. Set some goals. I've said this a million times. Set some goals, write them down, and then get a game plan, a little map of how you're going to get there. And by knowing what kind of workouts you're going to do, that is going to be step one in putting together this plan, this map of getting you from point A to your goal. That being said, there's five kinds of workouts that we're going to talk about today. The first one is the one that is most common with people who are just starting out, and that is a full body workout. And let me just mention, as I'm moving forward, when I'm talking about the number of times that you go to the gym each week, I am referencing specifically to when you go to do resistance training, whether that be weights, free weights, whether that be resistance machines. It's going to be when you put resistance more than your own body weight on your muscles, because that stresses your muscles more than just any kind of body weight exercise that you would do in yoga, or you would do just ab work or stretching or anything of that. That's body weight work. We're talking beyond that. We're talking putting more than just your body weight amount of resistance on your muscles. So when I talk about the number of times you go to the gym per week, I'm talking about specifically to do muscle building work. So the first one is full body. Now this is good if you're able to get to the gym only once or twice per week, maybe three times per week at the most. It fits best with once or twice per week. If you go three it can go, you could do it sometimes, but it's not the best way. And if you go more than three times a week, and again, this is for resistance training, you're going to be overtraining your body. And we'll talk about other things you can do. But the full body workout, if you can only go once or twice per week, full body is going to kind of get you through. And that means you're going to take a variety of machines and free weights and cable work, and you're going to work your entire body, which is going to be everything in your upper body, which is going to be chest and back, biceps and triceps of the arm, probably a little bit of forearm work. It's going to be abdominal work. It's going to be shoulder work. It's going to be butt work. It's going to be leg work, including quadriceps and hamstrings of the upper leg and calves of the lower leg. You're literally going to do all of that in each of the sessions that you do if you're only going once or twice per week, this full body workout. It's not the best for building large muscles, but it's good as a way to start to get your body going. It's a good introduction to begin to learn the machines and the movements that work each of the muscle groups. And it's really good at the beginning because one of the things that is the biggest problem when you're first starting out with any kind of weight resistance training is your muscles can handle the work that you're giving them usually pretty well. Unless you're pushing, you know, excessive weight at the beginning, your muscles are pretty cool. They're going to handle what's going on. But it's the ligaments and tendons of your body, which are those the support system that holds your muscles to your bones, that's what is going to be strained. That's where most injuries happen when you first start out weight training. Ligaments and tendon strains. And those are a bitch. Those are a real bitch because unlike muscles, which just have to rest and repair a little bit, ligaments and tendons don't have that. They have an elasticity to them. And once you interrupt that with a little tear, you're really screwed for a while. So you have to be careful with your ligaments and tendons. And if you're new to weight training, the full body is a good way to begin to lightly to maybe moderately work your muscles to get your ligaments and tendons used to the resistance as well as your muscles. I'm not going to get into specific exercises in today's podcast. I'm going to talk about the different types of workouts that you can do, and full body is the first one. So again, if you go once or twice per week, doing your whole body can be a beneficial thing, especially at the beginning. And usually most gyms will have some sort of circuit set up. When I was referencing being a Nautilus instructor a little while ago, when Nautilus was a popular machine, actually it was the only machine originally. Now they have all kinds of brands of them. They are usually set up in some circular type way that you move from one station to the other and you end up working all the major muscle groups of the body generally in 12 or somewhere between 12 and 15 machines. I'm drinking tea while I talk to you. So full body, that's number one, and that's the benefits and the negatives of it. You can get yourself used to things by doing it, tone your muscles up a little bit, tighten them up a little bit, but you're not going to build a lot of muscle doing that. The second one is the one that I use the most in my own personal training with me, and the one that I have used the most in training clients over the years. And this is primary and secondary muscle training. And what that means is you're going to train muscle groups that are related to each other in the movement of your body. An example of that would be the first major one that I have people do is chest, triceps, and anterior delt or front shoulder. Chest, triceps, front shoulder. The reason being is if you picture for a moment laying down and doing a bench press with a bar, you're laying flat, you have the bar, and you're pressing it over your chest, up, not locking your arms at the top, almost but not quite, and then lowering the bar down, stopping just an inch or so from your chest. When you are doing that particular movement, the primary muscle that is going to push, the primary muscles that do the pushing, are your pectoral muscles, your chest muscles. But in order for those to move and engage the way your body is built, your triceps, which is the back of your arm, the back two-thirds, the largest part of your arm, of the upper arm, it's a three-headed muscle. That's where the tri part of the word comes from. It's called tricep. Those are assisting at the same time you're pushing that bar up. And the third muscle that also assists is the front part of your shoulder. Your shoulder is a group of muscles tied together where you have a front, a back, and a side all coming together, forming a head at the top of it. And by doing this bar pushing, even though you're working chest, you are also engaging your triceps of your arm and the front part of your shoulder. So the belief is, okay, as long as you're pushing with your chest and you're working your chest, why not also work these other two muscles, because they're engaged at the same time anyway. So the thought would be you work your chest for a number of exercises, then you work your triceps, which already have been working a little bit, and then you work your front shoulder, which also has been working. You move from the largest down to the smallest. So chest, triceps, anterior delt. The second group together on that would be back, biceps, which is the front part of your arm, and your posterior delt, the rear part of your shoulder. And again, those three are linked together. When you do a rowing motion for your back, when you're pulling something towards you, your back is going to be the primary muscle group that's going to work. However, your biceps and your posterior delt are also going to do part of that pulling motion. So same thought. As long as you're working back, your biceps are working, your rear delt is working, why not put those together? And then as a third one, I usually say let's do the overall shoulder. We've already worked the front on the chest. We've worked the back part of the shoulder on the back routine. So what is left is the side head, which is called medial, the medial head. We do what's called side laterals, where we lift dumbbells directly out to the sides, up to a 90-degree angle to the floor. And also shoulder presses, where you're seated and you're pressing a weight with a very straight back straight up over you, so that you're engaging the top part of your shoulder, and that's going to give you a nice big ball on the top of your shoulder. So I always throw that part of shoulder as well as legs into the third routine. Let me just run those by you again. Chest, triceps, anterior delt, back, biceps, posterior delt, third one, medial delt, which is the side, shoulder presses, and all of the leg exercises. Those are the most efficient way to work your body, in my opinion. That is really good if you can go to the gym 3 times per week and you want to optimize your weightlifting, you want to build some size on you. If you do these routines, what you're going to find if you go 3 times a week and you do each of these routines once, you're going to be working each of the major muscle groups of your body 1 time per week only. Now, you will hear from a lot of people that are going to say that's just not enough for your muscles to build. You should be working a muscle group more than once per week. I don't think that's true. The guys that are super big, that really know the science of what they're doing, will not work a major muscle group more than every 5th day at the most, but 7th is going to probably be best. When you work it once per week, what you can do is you've rested the muscle to the point where you have the energy that you can push it to its maximum on the day that you train it. And physically, what happens to your muscles when you are working out is when you push them with heavier weights, you are microscopically tearing the muscle. That sounds bad, but that's a good thing. That's how growth happens. You just microscopically tear the protein fibers of the muscle. And what happens when you're resting the muscle on those other 6 days, that is your body's chance to repair the muscle. And it's the repairing of the muscle that makes the muscle physically bigger. And for whatever reason in this universe, there are guys that just, their ego in their head will not allow them to understand this fact. They will go and they will push themselves several times per week doing the same exercises and sometimes even try to push themselves with heavier weights than they had before. And that's ridiculous. You're going to kill yourself. And all you're doing is tearing the protein fiber, tearing the protein fiber, tearing the protein fiber. You're not giving it enough rest. Rest is the key. Growth of muscles does not happen when you're in the gym working out. Growth to the muscles happen when you are resting after you have blasted your muscles to their exhaustion. So the primary secondary training is just an awesome way to do it. You aim yourself to get to the gym 3 times per week for the resistance training. Now again, I'm referring just to lifting. If you want to go to the gym other days, you can do plenty of things. You can do cardio, you can do a class, you can do abdominal work. There's a lot of different things that you can do. And for those that say, you know what, you have to work a muscle more than once per week, just be aware that when you do something like you've worked your chest and your triceps and your front shoulder, and now 2 days later you're doing back and biceps and posterior delt, you're getting movement from those first muscle groups as well. I mean, it's not like your body, those muscles suddenly don't move at all. They do. There's a certain absorption of the resistance on them. You're just not working them as a primary working muscle group on that day. So keep that in mind. Once per week, by doing this primary secondary training, is going to maximize your ability to build muscle. Also, you know, if your goal is not to build muscle, but just to kind of tone it up a little bit, make it less flabby as you're losing weight, you can still use this kind of training. You just keep the weight lights. The weight lighter. So primary and secondary training, really good. The third kind is when I've had clients that have worked primary, secondary for quite a while and they're a little bored with that combination, and we've tried all these different exercises and different orders to push them, but they're still bored. The other one I like is opposing muscle groups. And this is still breaking it down generally over a 3-day period. And it's more or less working with the first two categories the most, which is in the primary secondary, we were talking about chest, triceps, anterior delt. Second one being back, biceps, posterior delt. What we're doing in opposing muscle groups is you will work your chest. And what happens as you're continuing through a series of exercises and a series of sets, and you are increasing the weight as you go, the muscle group that you're working will shorten and tighten up. Therefore, when you move to the opposing muscle group, which means the muscle on the opposite side of where the first one was, okay, so if you're working chest, we're talking about your back directly behind you. When you then go to move into the positions and do the movements for the back, you get an automatic stretch of the back muscles an automatic stretch of the chest muscles because you're working back. If you're working chest, the movements again, if you had done your back as your first movement and now you're doing chest secondary, you'll get a stretch through the back. whichever your first group was that you worked, they shortened and tightened up. Then working the second one will stretch that initial one back. And that can be a benefit. So those combinations will be chest and back, the major parts of the torso, biceps and triceps of the arm, both done on the same day. Biceps the front of the arm, triceps the back of the arm. Again, you're getting the stretching movement by working the opposing muscle group. I'd also throw forearms into that mix if I was going to do biceps and triceps together, just because the forearm's attached to the arm and it's working. A benefit of doing that opposing group of biceps, triceps, if you want to have nice looking guns for that particular day or that evening, you want to blast your arms, you're going to be doing all of the muscle groups in the arm, so your arm is going to be nice and big with a pump when you finish those. Moving down the body, you'd also work quadriceps, which is the front part of the leg, and the hamstrings, which is the rear part of the upper leg. Again, opposing muscles. You do your quadriceps, then you go to your hamstrings, your quadriceps stretch out, or you do your hamstrings, and then you do your quadriceps, stretches the hamstrings out. So opposing muscle groups, that can be done. Again, I would not do that more than once each per week. So again, chest, back, bi, tri, quads, hams. We're talking three workouts, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Perfect way to do it. Negatives of that. The only negative I can see on that really is when you're doing your chest, even though now you're going to plan on doing your back right afterwards, you're doing your chest, you are still engaging your triceps and your front delt. Be aware of that. And then when you do your back, the second half of the opposing movement, you're also going to be working your biceps and your posterior delt. So it's not what I consider to be the best. I kind of consider it to be the second best. But you're going to be working more muscle groups, whether you like it or not, even though you're trying to just work two, like chest and back, but you can't. The other muscle groups that assist in each of those body parts are going to be involved too. So maybe think about using that, but it's not the best. Fourth one is just strictly an upper and lower body division. As a guy, and having worked mostly with guys, and most trainers who are guys, there's kind of a funny thing about guys. Most guys, they don't like to work their legs, it seems, because it's a bitch. Come on, you're gonna put a massive bar on your back with weights, and you're gonna be squatting down towards the floor, and you're gonna be pushing it up. Squats, one of the best exercises that work the entire body, really, because the way you have to hold your torso, you have to hold your abs tight, you have to keep your chest up, you have to be looking up when you do it, all these different positionings of the muscle groups, it's a great, great exercise. And a disclaimer about that, be careful with squats, check out with your doctor, make sure your back and knees are okay, make sure your form is good. However, dividing it into upper and lower body is a way of doing it, but here's the big negatives, and the negatives are I think are the most on this one. And that is, when you look at your upper body, you are talking about chest and back, shoulders, biceps, triceps, forearms, probably abs. Let's throw that in there too. When you talk about your lower body, you might be talking butt, but you're primarily talking legs, quadriceps, hamstrings, and calves, inner outer thighs too, sure. So if you're going to divide it that way, you're going to find on the upper body day, you're going to have so much you have to do to get through all the muscle groups of the upper body. And on your lower body day, you're going to have less exercises to do. And being a guy, if you're a guy, like a guy is a guy, you're going to blow off the lower body constantly. I can guarantee it. So I'm going to tell you there's the upper-lower split. I don't suggest it because most times you're going to blow off the lower body and you're just going to be working yourself too much on that upper body. So you're going to have a really long upper body day and a shorter lower body day. And oh, that would be good, again, if you got to the gym twice per week. Maybe you could do it four times a week if you did it really lightly, because you can't push your muscles as much as you can because you're just working too many muscles at the same time, especially on that upper day. So it's really hard to do that kind of split, the upper lower. Be aware that it's there, but it's not the best one to do. The fifth and final one is an old school way of looking at things. I don't know anybody that does this anymore. I don't know, maybe they do it in some of the functional CrossFit kind of deals, maybe. I don't know. I don't really get myself involved in that training anymore, but it's called the push-pull system. And it's a unique thing. And let me see if I can even, I should have written this down ahead of time. Let me think if I can even conceptualize the push-pull the way it's done. The theory is, anytime you are doing something where you are pushing away from your body, and that would be a chest press, a tricep push down, a leg extension, a medial side delt raise, an anterior delt raise. Let's stop there. So you're pushing things away from the midline of your body. The theory is that works one kind of muscle function in your body. And then the pulling motion is things like back rows, bicep curls, where you're bringing something closer to your body, laying down doing your hamstring curls, the back of your leg, where you're pulling things towards your body is that you're working, again, another functional type of muscle group together. It's kind of weird, and it's not in fashion anymore just because there are these other ways, I think, that are better to work the body that I've outlined there. The positive spin to the push-pull is if you've ever strained one of your ligaments or tendons in your forearm, you may notice that if you do a certain movement, like if you were to do a bicep curl with a dumbbell, that ligament or tendon aches when you do that. But then if you do a tricep push down, that ligament or tendon doesn't hurt at all. And that's because our ligaments and tendons are set up to assist muscle groups in the function that they have in the movement that we do. So if you find that you are, well, here's one thing. If you find a pain in an area, like your forearm, doing a particular move, but then when you do the opposing move, you don't feel it, it's not going to be a muscle problem, it's going to be a ligament or tendon problem, because muscles would still ache whichever way you did your movement. However, if it's a ligament or tendon, those work in conjunction with the muscle groups and you're not going to feel it on the opposing movement. So that can be a way to kind of be aware of, if you feel a strain, what that strain may be. So the positive of the push-pull is it does give your ligaments and tendons rests when you go to the opposing movements. And again, all the push would be done on one day, and all the pulls would be done on another day. Good if you go twice per week. You definitely want to get there at least twice per week. If you go three times per week and you're going to do the push-pull, I would do push, pull, push. And then the next time, start with pull, because you finished with push, pull, push, pull. So each time you're going, you're flipping it. That's true of the primary, secondary, and the opposing muscle groups as well, by the way. If you're aiming to go 3 times per week to do routines, and you only get there 2 times, when you go back the next week, do not start with number one again. You've done 2 of them the week before. Start with the 3rd one that you did not do the week before. Start that as the first thing that you do on this new week. So you are always going to be moving one into the next. You're not skipping them. And this is especially important because in the primary, secondary, in the opposing muscle groups, in the upper, lower that we just talked about, all 3 of those has legs as the 2nd or, in most cases, the 3rd workout that you do. So if you're aiming to get there 3 times a week, and you only get there 2 times this week, well, funny, the leg one didn't get done. So when you go fresh on Monday again, get yourself to do legs. Don't go, oops, oh well, didn't get to legs last week. I'll try to make sure I get to them this week. No, don't do that. Don't do that, son. Be an adult. Do some self-parenting. Start with your legs. If you blew off your legs last week, start with your legs this week. That's the kind of thing you have to do in these routines. So those are the 5 kinds of workouts that you design. We will talk in future podcasts about the phases to bring muscles through as you work out. There are different phases that you should take a muscle through. And then we'll talk about the specific exercises that will accomplish those phases. But for right now, for your assignment, if you are going to a gym and you've just been kind of walking around, staring at stuff, trying things out, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take those 5 ideas, full body, primary, secondary, opposing muscle groups, upper, lower, and push, pull, and just try them out a little bit. Try to see what they're like by doing them. Try to see how it feels to do that. I think that you'll find what you'll feel is you'll begin to feel an understanding of how the muscles connect and work together in unison. And you'll kind of discover what might feel best for you or challenge you the most. Or is something different than you've been used to doing. And whenever you change from something that you've been used to doing into something completely new, your body's kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And it suddenly will give you this huge amount of growth that you wouldn't have otherwise, because you're changing your technique completely. So if you've been stuck but doing something, if you've been doing full body every time you've been going there, try these other things. See how they feel. See how it makes a difference in how your muscles feel. Because it's going to push them a little bit harder, especially that primary, secondary training. It pushes them a little bit harder because you're working those same 3 connected muscle groups. You work 1 hard and the other 2 are assisting. Then you move to the 2nd one, which is already partly tired, and that 3rd muscle is still assisting. And then you finish with that 3rd little muscle that, oh my God, has worked through the first body part, the 2nd body part, and now this poor little anterior delt is just finishing off and as tired as can be. So try those out. That's the way to begin to design workouts.
Okay, so I am back with you. Now, first let me apologize for the sound quality of that. It was a horrible echo. I couldn't get rid of it at the time, but hopefully that's improved. And you hear a lot of ums. Well, you still hear a lot of ums from me. But let me just make a couple points here. I really want to drive home to you that you understand that this kind of workout, the different combinations, and especially the primary secondary, is doable and is actually, I will suggest that you do it at your home if you're going to do home workouts. It's not only tied to the gym. When we get into specific exercises,
That's going to be right after the first of the year, and that's going to be on my YouTube channel, and I'll give you lots of information about that right after the first of the year. But I'm going to show you exercises and these different combinations. But it's important for you to know that working those muscles in one of those ways, one of those five ways that I talked about, is a great way that you can do it also at home with small amount of dumbbells. And it may sound like a lot of information. I'm speaking specifically right now to women who might not have been involved in resistance training and beginners of either sex. Don't get scared off by all of that information. It is going to be useful to you, and I will be reviewing it as we go along. And one more point. If you are a woman, sometimes I hear from my female clients, they'll come to me and they'll say, oh, you know what? I just want to tone up the back of my arm. It's flabby. Or, oh, I just want to do abdominal work. Let me really stress to you that, yes, you can tone up individual areas of the body. However, for health, for long-term health and vitality without injury, just because if you concentrate on just a few areas of your body, and it's going to depend on what those areas were, but if you do, there's always the chance that you're going to develop that area more, and therefore your spine has to adjust a little bit to the imbalance of your body. So for long-term health, and you know, you want to be able to walk, so you have to do some legwork. You want to be able to walk when you're older. You want to be able to move everything as if you were youthful. And I'm 57. It's youthful in these days. That's youthful in these days. You want to be able to work the whole body. So please, please, please keep that in mind as we move forward. Don't think you just want to do one area. And from those of you that I might hear, you know, I don't want to exercise all the time. I just want to do a little bit in the area I want. Come on. Come on. By doing exercise for the whole body, you're going to be able to use the whole body when you get into your senior years. You don't want to have certain parts of your body working and the other parts not so good. So work the whole body. Part 3 next week is going to detail how to do your repetitions and sets and the speed and the count that you should have as you're doing exercises. And again, this is going to be applicable to not just the gym health club people, but also very much to the home workout people. So this weekend, I am off to Mexico for Christmas, but I will have podcast number 86 ready for publishing, and I will probably publish that on Tuesday. So you'll be able to catch part 3 on Tuesday before Christmas, and then part 4 will come along the week between Christmas and New Year's, which will set you up for New Year's to really begin to exercise and lose weight. I will leave it there for this week. My disclaimer follows. Please give it a listen. I appreciate that. This is Joey Hernandez. Thank you so, so much for joining me. I love every one of you for joining me. And I will talk to you next week. Bye for now. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez. And this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together, you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.